Okay, hallelujah. Well, I lost some of the recording on top of it. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, and the enemy does not like to be exposed. Hallelujah. Be praying for me on your side. Again, Second Peter, the apostles, they walked with Yeshua. They saw him die. They witnessed his resurrection. They were living witnesses. This is not some fable that somebody made up. Again, God, when Yeshua arose, there was over 500 witnesses to his resurrection. Second Peter 1:18. And we ourselves heard this voice come out of heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. Furthermore, we have the reliable prophetic word. What prophetic word are they speaking about? The words of the prophets in the Tanakh. You do well by paying attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, understand this: no prophecy of scripture comes about from a person's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever brought by human will. Rather, people spoke from God as they were moved by the Ruach HaKodesh. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be also false teachers among you. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. So it goes, this has been happening since the time of Messiah, and even before that, during the times of the prophets, during the time of Moses. There is always, again, somebody, the enemy trying to sneak into the camp and bring heresies and false teaching. Many will follow their immoral ways. As a result, the way of truth will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but threw them into Sheol. He put them in chains of gloomy darkness to be held until the judgment. He did not spare the ancient world. He preserved only Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness, along with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, which we've just been studying. Now let's go back here a little bit. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Timothy talks about that people will only want to hear what tickles their ears. There was a special on years ago, and they were interviewing a couple pastors who had their face blotted out because they didn't want anybody to know who they were, of a couple of mega churches, huge churches. And both of them admitted they didn't believe in God. They didn't believe the word. It was just a good living. Now, if you were discerning, you would have picked up in your spirit, something's wrong here. It didn't matter how slick they sounded or how, impressive they were. Obviously, these guys were false prophets, false teachers, yet they were deceiving thousands of people. Why? For greed, for the money they could get. And God is going to expose them, and many have been exposed. Some of them, upon death, you're finding out that they weren't living the life that they were proclaiming to others. Going forward, he devastated the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. He rescued Lot, a righteous man, deeply troubled by the shameless immorality of the wicked. For that righteous man, while living among them, was tormented in his righteous soul day after day by lawless deeds he saw and heard. Therefore, the Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials and how to keep the unrighteous being punished until the day of judgment. Again, there's a day of judgment coming, and we are getting closer and closer to it. Especially those who follow after the flesh in its unclean desires, who despise the Lord's authority. Brazen and arrogant, these people do not tremble while slandering glorious beings. Yet even angels, though stronger and more powerful, do not bring a slanderous charge against them before the Lord. But these people are like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be captured and killed. They malign what they don't understand, and in their destruction, they will be utterly destroyed. They will be paid back for what they have done, evil for evil. They consider carousing in broad daylight a pleasure. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceitful pleasures while feasting together with you. So here he's saying these are things that are going on within churches, again, feasting with you. They're pretending they are a part of you, but they are not. They have eyes full of adultery that never stop sinning, enticing unstable souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed broad. They have abandoned the straight way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Peor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Again, you could follow this spirit all the way back to HaSatan, all the way back again to the Tower of Babel. Again, we're going to go into more detail of how, you know, this false way. Again, the enemy has thousands of ways to get you to hell and deceive you. With God, there's only one way to life, and that is obedience to his word. And I've been serving him almost 50 years, Minister Scott as well. And from day one, I had no desire to ever go back to what God delivered me out of, because I have more joy and more peace. Yes, have I gone through tests and trials and rejection and battles? You know, we all have, but God has always brought us through it. As long as we kept our eyes on him and trusted him. And every trial, every battle has been, we've become stronger in him. Our faith has grown because we see how he has brought us out of every battle, how he has delivered us and made a way where there seems to be no way. So don't allow the enemy to deceive you. Again, there is a great spirit of deceit going on in the world to get today. Again, 2 Timothy, Paul talks about 2 Timothy, about the last days, how, you know, people will be seekers of pleasure instead of seekers of God. They'll be all, you know, going after the ways of the flesh. And now what used to be hidden in darkness, they are just bringing out openly and not even ashamed of what they're doing. Going forward, verse 16, but he received a rebuke for his wrongdoing, speaking of Balaam. A dumb donkey spoke with a man's voice and put a stop to the prophet's madness. Again, if you know Torah, you know these stories. You know exactly what he's talking about. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. The gloom of utter darkness has been reserved for them. For by mouthing grandiosities that amount to nothing, they entice in sensual fleshly passions those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, whether themselves are slaves of corruption. For a person is a slave to whatever has overcome him. For if, after escaping the world's pollutions through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, they again become entangled in these things and are overcome, the end for them has been worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after learning about it, to turn back from the holy commandment passed on to them. What has happened to them confirms the truth of a proverb: a dog returns to its vomit, and a scrubbed pig heads right back into the mud. Again, we see this happening today. people, you know, teaching, and they have huge ministries, you know, that there is no hell, that God's not going to punish anybody. And people are, you know, flocking to them. The one minister was saying, oh, we don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. God did away with that. And everybody's cheering and applauding again. Where's the discernment? Where is standing up for righteousness and holiness? We need to stand up. We need to be bold and stand for truth. And again, as Peter's pointing out, these are people that are actually coming into congregations and deceiving people. His word given at Mount Sinai is eternal. The first warning was about the Torah itself. Do not take away from it. But the second one about the danger of false doctrines, pagan doctrines that can get the people lost. Choosing to keep this or that commandment is like taking away and corresponds to the accusation of the false prophet. Moshe was responsible to warn the people of coming false prophets who would take away words of the Torah and teach them not to keep the commandments or only some of them. Again, we see, you know, through the years, we see replacement theology came in where the church was teaching that God, that the Christians replaced Israel, God's finished with Israel, which was a lie because in 1948, Israel miraculously was returned to the land. And, you know, there is, I'm going to put together things that are going on that I've seen. It's just like almost unbelievable. But Yeshua warned us about this. And one thing about false prophets, again, they're very deceiving. You know, they say they've had dreams and visions when you compare them with the word of God and the truth are totally off. We need to be followers of the word. If we are followers of the word, when a true prophet arises, we will test what he says according to the word, because that's what we're supposed to do. We are to know the truth so well that when something false comes our way, we are going to know it's false. The renewed covenant of Brit Hadashah reveals that these prophets are also considered false teachers. Again, 2 Peter 2:1, but among the people, there were also false prophets, just as there will be false teachers among you. Under false pretenses, they will introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and thus bring on themselves swift destruction. 1 John 4:1, dear friends, don't trust every spirit. On the contrary, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. If it was true then, how much more is it even true now? With all the avenues we have with technology, with social media, for them to, again, spread their lies, spread their deceptions. The false prophet teaches false doctrines, for example, worship of angels. Let me just get my scriptures here so I'm not bouncing back and forth between screens. So Colossians 2, 18 and 19. It should probably be quicker if I just pulled up the screen. So let me just do that. Okay, Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let's see. Okay, verse 18. Let no one disqualify you by insisting on false humility and worship of angels, going into detail about what he has seen, puffed up without cause by his fleshly mind. He is not holding fast to the head. It is from him that the whole body is nourished and held together by its joints and tendons, growing with godly increase. So again, he's warning against false teachers. The doctrine of Balaam and Jezebel acts 15, 19 to 20. Therefore, I judge not to trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning from God, but write to them to abstain from contaminations of idols, from sexual immorality, and from what is strangled, and from blood, from Moses, from ancient generations has held in every city those proclaim him, since he is read in the synagogues and every Shabbat. So again, actually, this is regarding paganism. Again, the Gentiles are coming from total pagan cultures where they had idol worship, fornication, drinking of blood. I mean, horrible things. And they were coming in to the righteousness of God. They were born again. They needed to learn how to walk in his holiness. And they had to, again, they were told them to abstain from these so that you can come in and start learning the ways of God, again, from the Tanakh and the Torah. And then Revelation 2:14, this is where I wanted to, where it talks about Balaam. But I have a few things against you. And you know, he's talking to, this is a message to the church at Pergamum. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who is teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before B'nai Israel, to eat food sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality. So here, if you know the Torah and you study Torah, you know exactly what he's referring to. You know the whole story behind Balaam and Balak, and the way he could not curse Israel, but how they got to them. They tempted them with women to cause them to commit sexual immorality, or tempt them to, again, do what was contrary to Torah. Verse 20, this is to the church of Thyatira, but I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Yet she is teaching and deceiving my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. So here's a woman walking in that same spirit of Jezebel, again, which goes back to, again, the Chaldean spirit. Again, if you know the story of Jezebel, if you study the word, you know, she was a very wicked woman. She was married to Ahaz. She was a pagan priest. She was tried to kill Elijah. She was a very evil. Again, she is the epitome of what evil is. And here he's telling them, you're tolerating this woman. You're tolerating this false prophetess, and listen, you know, in your congregation. Here he goes on to say, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her doing. So again, he's warning, these aren't things that are happening outside the congregation. These are things that are happening inside. Again, that are, you know, even going on today. Another thing is teaching salvation through the commandments of Torah. Now, that's not speaking against Torah. What it's saying is, oh, you don't need to put faith in Messiah Yeshua. All you have to do is keep the commandments. Okay, well, if keeping the commandments was a way of salvation, then Yeshua wouldn't have come to die for us and pay the price. The commandments, the Torah, lead to Yeshua, lead to that salvation, leads us to repentance. Salvation comes by faith and set apartness, sanctification by Yeshua and his Torah. I mean, I've even heard people in the Messianic movement tell people that, you know, if they're, you know, believers and maybe they don't know yet about walking in Torah, they haven't come into that full revelation that, oh, you're all going to hell because you're not keeping Torah. Salvation is not based on that. Once you are saved, the Ruach is going to lead you to the Torah. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you in agreement with the word, but it's not salvation by works. It's works follow salvation. So again, it's a example. Catholicism is a works-based religion. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, they're all, we're going to go more into that down the road, our works-based religion. It doesn't matter what Yeshua did. You just do this and you'll make it. The second indication about false prophets is that they can make miracles, and this time they are compared to false messiahs, which means anointed servants. The word messiah means anointed. Matthew 24, 24, for there will be false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible. Again, they will receive these deceptive abilities from Ha-Satan. Sometimes I even wonder about these professional magicians. That some of the things they do, I think, are beyond just optical illusions. I think there are some, satanic things behind it, getting people to believe in something that's not real. Again, I mentioned before, AI can produce things and holograms and stuff like that that look real. We have to be careful. We have to be discerning and not be, sucked into the things of the world. It's a two-edged sword. Yeah, there's some good things about, AI. You can get information, blah, blah, blah. But I feel that, and other Bible prophets agree that this AI is going to be one of the ways that the enemy's going to use to deceive people when the Antichrist and the false Messiah and false prophets arise. Revelation 19:20, but the beast was taken captive, and with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the miracles which he had used to deceive those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. The beast and the false prophet were both thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. So again, we already know what their end is. Okay, their end is eternal punishment in hell. And if you don't believe in hell, you better start reading your Bible again. But hell again was created for Satan and his angels, for those here who have blatantly rejected God. It's God, not God's will for any man to perish. Everybody has the opportunity to accept that free gift of eternal life, to be born anew, to the privilege of serving Yahweh Elohim and his kingdom, to be given eternal life. It says, eyes have not seen, or ears have heard the things that Yahweh's prepared for those that serve him. Again, there is such, it's a deceit of the enemy deceiving people, telling them, whispering in their ear, oh, if you become a believer, you're going to have a dull life. You're going to, you're not going to have any fun. That's a bunch of baloney. Don't believe that stuff. Well, that's a lie. That's a spirit of deception. Believe me, the enemy is getting more and more bold, more bolder than he ever has been before. You can see that in the news. You can see how Satanism is getting more bold. Again, just I'm going to put together again things to show you if you're not aware of what is going on. Miracles are not necessarily, again, a sign of truth. Here again, we see warned, which we looked at Deuteronomy 13, just because a prophet gives a sign and a wonder and it comes to pass, if he is using that to lead you away from God, to teach you something that is contrary to the word, to tempt you to participate in pagan ways, pagan religions, he's a false prophet. A true prophet, is always going to preach repentance, returning back to God, returning back to his word, and forsaking what is false. Again, this isn't a popular message, but we are called to tell the truth. Why in this case does Yahweh allow these miracles? The answer is given in the text. Again, it was to test them to see whether they were going to believe what God said or believe the lies of the enemy. Again, you are not to listen to that prophet or dreamer, says Adonai, for Adonai your God is testing you in order to find out whether you really do love Adonai your God with all your heart and all your being. Hashem can allow signs and miracles or Yahweh to occur through the hands of false prophets, of false anointed ministers, again, to test our hearts. Yeshua warned us about this in Matthew 24. For there will be appear false messiahs. Again, through the centuries, there have been people who have claimed to be messiah or thought they were messiah. The emperors used to think that they were gods. Again, false leaders of religion rising up saying that they're the messiah. Again, performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to even fool the chosen, if possible. Believers will be seduced by the miracles of false prophets, false teachers who teach that Torah is not valid or who don't teach souls but base their ministry upon signs. What power is at work behind such miracles? Again, we have Laban, Pharaoh's magicians, and Balaam were also miracle makers. Yet God overtook, again, their false signs and wonders as well. But as believers, we need to be, I mean, we need to soak in this word. That's one of the reasons why I created this Bible workbook that the Ruach just put on my heart. It's how we study the word. You know, we meditate on it. We listen to it. We, you know, what is God saying every day, writing things down that the Ruach is telling us, hiding that word within our hearts. This is something we need to be diligent to do. We just can't be fed just by, you know, again, God uses teachers, you know, but you need to be fed every day by getting into the word, because how are you going to know when you are listening to somebody that he is teaching the truth of the word? You need to know the real in order to detect the false. The antidote is obvious. Follow my Torah. Again, we are to follow his teachings and instructions. We are to not to be impressed by people. Again, there's some people out there that call themselves prophets that say, oh, they visited heaven, and they give the most bizarre descriptions of what they saw. You know, they said, oh, there's this one woman. I can't think of her name, but I'll find it. Actually, Mario Murillo exposed her as well. There's mountains made of jello, and there's roller coasters, and all kinds of really bizarre things that if you look in Revelation is not the description of heaven at all. I mean, heaven's a beautiful, awesome place, but anybody can make up a story. She says that she goes to heaven daily. She visits there daily. It's like, really? Even the apostles were given that privilege to go up daily. You know, again, we have to discern tickling ears, deceiving people, making a name for themselves. Again, Yochanan sends a warning. Children, guard yourselves against false gods, idols. The Apostle Yochanan speaks of love and salvation in Yeshua in this epistle and warns us to dwell in his love and his commandments, resembling Moshe's words divided in two parts. Love the Lord with all your heart, the mitzvah, and love one's neighbor as yourself. Again, Yeshua said this was the greatest commandment. To love Yahweh with all our heart. We need to ask ourselves, do we really love you with all our heart? Well, are you obeying the word? If you obey the word, you're loving him with all your heart. Or are we making excuses why we don't have to do something or why we can't do something when God has told us to do it? Again, it doesn't say love the Lord with part of your heart or a quarter of your heart. It says all of your heart. And that's one thing we need to examine our hearts in prayer and repent where we need to if we have not been obedient to what he has told us to do. 1 John 5, 2, here is how we know that we love God's children. When we love God, we also do what he commands. Yeshua declared it in Matthew 5, 18. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. Again, the Torah is prophetic. The Tanakh is prophetic. Two-thirds of the Bible there. The prophets are still speaking today. There are still things that were prophesied regarding Yeshua's second coming that need to come to pass, about the end of days, about what is going to happen. We need to study that word. We need to understand in context. That's why it's important to read the whole word, the word from beginning to end, in context, at how it flows. Again, study it. Listen to the Ruach as you spend that time in the word. Ruach HaKodesh, show me what you need to show me. Sometimes the scripture will just convict you. You know, Father, I repent. I repent because I'm not doing what your word says I should be doing. Or it'll encourage you and bless you. God speaks to us through his word, through the Ruach. Again, going back to Matthew 7:15, we're going to end. I don't think I'm not going to get through this whole PowerPoint. My voice is kind of a little gruff still. Again, beware of false prophets. They come to you, again, wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. Again, he's warning us, you will recognize them by their fruit. Going down, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do what my Father in heaven wants. So again, a true believer is going to be obedient to the word. A true believer is going to want to please the Father, is going to be quick to repent and quick to obey. A true believer is going to soak themselves in the word of God and not allow the enemy to deceive them, not to follow after. We aren't to follow after people. We are to follow after Yahweh and his word. And yes, he uses people, but we need to discern which of who are truly sent by God and who are false. And again, there's a lot of false out there, and you have every right to challenge me if I teach anything that's contrary to the word of God. But believe me, I am very careful and prayerful to stick to the word of God. And if I say something that I'm not sure of, or that, you know, I maybe, this is how I interpret it, I'll say, well, this is my opinion. Okay, but you have every right to challenge somebody who's teaching contrary to the word of God. Again, going verse 22, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name? Then I will tell them to their faces, I never knew you. Get away from you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. If you look in the Greek, that's referring to Torah, God's law. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who builds his house on bedrock. The rain fell, the rivers flooded, the winds blew and beat against that house, but it didn't collapse because its foundation was on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a stupid man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the rivers flooded, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it's collapsed, and it collapsed, and its collapse was horrendous. When Yeshua had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at the way he taught. So again, Yeshua, what is that rock? That rock is the word of God. That rock is Yeshua. I want to end with, let me see if I have these. I just want to skip forward to, let me look here. Wasn't sure how much I, okay, it'll be in next week's notes. Anyway, the word. Okay, let me just go to, let me skip down to. Some slides. I want to go to, let's see. I conclude with this. And unfortunately, part of this didn't get okay, I'm going to skip down to here. Yeah, that's part of my conclusion. You have the notes. I want to keep going. Well, my voice is still strong. So anointed servants must bring forth fruits worthy of repentance and return to the commandments. Without preaching repentance, which returns us to the word, signs are vain. We risk to fall into idolatry, manifested either by idolatry of the man or by worshiping Yahweh without obeying his word, which is a serious sin of idolatry. Again, the word says in Jeremiah that he would give us a heart of flesh versus a heart of stone. He would write that Torah upon our hearts. So if God did away with the Torah, why is he saying that I'm going to write it upon your hearts? And I said this before. Again, if you are truly born again, the Ruach is always going to lead you to the Torah, his word. And the Torah, in the broadest sense, is the entire word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. The foundation is the first five books of Moshe, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, but the whole book is God's Torah, because Torah is his teachings and instructions. Okay? You don't hear the teaching of repentance that much anymore. It's, again, tickle your ears. You know, God's going to give you whatever you want. You're going to be rich. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to have everything you want. Well, look at the lives of the apostles. Look at the, you know, they all died martyrs' deaths. They all laid down their lives in gladness and joy in serving the Maker. Again, who killed them? Evil men. People that were, you know, followers of HaSatan, you know, paganistic rulers. You see all through history of believers, you know, Christians and Jews being murdered because of their faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, our life is not our own. You know, Yeshua says that we are supposed to love him again with all our hearts, all our souls, all our being. And we have a great future. You know, I praise God for, you know, that I'll be 70 years old, and I thank him every day. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to live to this time, and be, if it be your will, Father, let me live another 20 years so I could teach your word and plant seeds. Yeshua tarry? Because I look back at how many times I could have been dead. I look back at how many people I knew died from either being murdered or died from some kind of illness, who weren't believers, you know, that their lives were cut short at a young age. And a lot of times because they chose the wrong paths to walk in. And I thank God, I am like, you know, every day, thank you, Father, that you kept me alive for such a time as this, that your mercy was watching over me. Why? Because God knew, he knows us from, and he knew us when we were, you know, in our mother's womb. Every gift, every calling was there. And again, it's no coincidence, no accident that, you know, you are here for such a time as this, that we don't have to fear what's coming upon the world, because God's already laid it all out. This should not come as a surprise to you if you are a student of the word, what's happening today, because the word of God has laid it all out and warned us what the end times are going to be like and the deception that is to come. Again, we need to know our enemy, how he operates, how he deceives, and he'll use any way he can to deceive people. We need to be committed to walk in his word, to walk in obedience. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? The things that you need just to live in the world will be added onto you. That doesn't mean, well, I want a mansion, so God's going to give you a mansion. You know, it's like, okay, if there's only two, what do two people need a mansion for? You know, it's like, we have enough to take care of just in our small apartment. It's enough work. We know that we have so much more ahead of us. Again, God's not against people being prosperous. If you own your own business, and you've worked hard. I mean, you've worked hard for that prosperity. You worked hard to give people jobs. And, hey, if you're blessed with a big house, that's great. But personally, I think people in ministry should walk humbly before God, not going after riches. Yes, the word says we are to take care of those that minister to us and teach us. The Israelites were to support the Levites because the Levites' portion was serving God. They didn't have their own land, they didn't have their own property. Their calling was to serve God and his people, to pray and intercede, to teach the word. And Israel was to take care of them so that they could do that. Same in the New Testament. The apostle said, hey, we can't, spend all our time serving tables, meeting, doing the again the ministry of help, so to speak. He goes, we need to be praying, we need to be studying the word and praying so we can teach you and train you. So that's where Stephen and other men, you see that in the book of Acts, were raised up to serve, to help take care of the things that needed to be taken care of in the ministry. And it wasn't a lowly job. It was a blessing. Whatever God calls us to do is a blessing. Again, but we need to know, and one thing the Ruach is just really emphasizing, you need to know how the enemy operates. You need to know the deceptions out there. That's why the Ruach has me staying in this teaching on the Chaldean spirit, again, that we see even more active today than ever before. So we are not deceived. So we don't, our ears aren't tickled by somebody online who says something that's really appealing, but contrary to the word of God, who's appealing to our flesh instead of our spirit. We are all called again to, we are servants of the Most High, Yahweh Elohim. And again, I thank him every day for these 70 years. It'll be in January, 7 years he's giving me. And I pray, Father, if it be your will, why? Because there's people that need to be reached for Messiah. And the only way we can do that is to be alive on this earth and train up people as disciples. So again, we are going to be studying, more about this. Again, I've been writing notes. I got sheets of notes here I gotta organize. But and 1 Samuel 15:22, Shmuel said, does, and this is the prophet, does Adonai take as much pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying what Adonai says? Surely obeying is better than sacrifice, and heeding orders than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of sorcery, stubbornness like the crime of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Adonai, he too has rejected you as king. Again, this was Saul, who did not obey what God told him to do, and he lost his kingship. He lost his position, which was passed on to David. Again, a man who followed God's heart, even though he made mistakes, but he repented. But again, it's God is looking for hearts, obedient hearts that will serve him and be a light in the darkness. Share the love of Messiah, share the truth, because rebuking sin is also love as well. Bringing people into correction is also love as well. So I'm going to end here. Again, you have these notes. We're going to continue this next week. Again, I've been putting just a list together here. The Ruach just keep I keep on adding to it. We're going to be looking at again, what's starting from the Tower of Babel, that Chaldean spirit, and how, again, how Satan is operating in the world today. All the false teachings, false worship came out of, again, this a place of Babylon or Babel. And again, it's a spirit. It's a spirit that goes all the way back to the fall of HaSatan. And we're going to compare it to what, Yahweh's lies versus God's truth. Again, the word says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Yahweh's truth, I'm sorry. Satan's lies versus Yahweh's truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear. Hallelujah. God knew what I was saying. Anyway, we're going to continue on with this. So thank you that I made it through. Again, unfortunately, half of the recording, I can always re-record it. So and the enemy doesn't want the truth to get out. Hallelujah. So, venerable King, our Father, King, Father, we thank you for your truth, the truth of your holy word, Father. May we commit, Father, in this coming year, in this coming season, to be greater students of your word, to hide that word in our heart, Father, to be Bereans, Father, that when we hear something, that we go to the word and see, is what I'm hearing according to the word of Yahweh Elohim. Thank you, Father, that we know your truth so well that we will know when a lie or a false teaching is coming forward, Father. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Father, again, for the men and women who laid down their lives so we could have this word in our hands to study and to meditate on and to instruct us in the way that we should go. We thank you, Yeshua, for dying for us. We thank you that how precious your love is to us, that you, God, that you loved us so much that you would send Yeshua to pay the price for our sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I just pray for our congregation right now. Father, I just pray for your anointing upon each of their lives. I pray that the gifts that you have put in them, Father, Father, will grow, Father, to their fullest potential, that they would walk in the full anointing that you have for them. I come against that spirit of discouragement. Father, I come against that spirit of the lies of HaSatan that is telling you that God can't use you. That's a lie of the enemy. God is just looking for willing hearts and willing servants who would be obedient to him. Father, I thank you that you are raising up men and women, Father, to be lights in the darkness, to be spiritual warriors for you, Father, to speak the truth boldly. I thank you, Father, that the enemy is rebuked in the name of Yeshua from every area of their lives, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, that, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Father, for the young people that are represented here, Father, these young men, Father, I know the majority here, there's young men online here, that you have called them, Father, to be an influence and a light to their generation, Father. And when I say young, I say anybody younger than me is young. But God is raising you up. Hallelujah. Don't compromise. Be diligent to do what he has called you to do. Be a student of his word. Take time every day to spend time with him, time in prayer and time in study. For you will hear his voice, because the word says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. For you have been called for such a time as this, to be light in the darkness in your generation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name, praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, Shabbat Shalom, Aki and Ken. I'm just seeing all who's here. Lisa, Luca, and I'm sure the rest of the Perez clan is all there too. Caden, Ty, Minister Scott, Carolyn and Andy, Saul's good to see you, Saul. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. How many false prophecies and social networks with people believe them and fall? What will, let's see, let me just, Aki has a comment here. So let me see. Okay. I'm just reading what you're saying. Okay. How many false prophets and social networks with people believe them and fall What will happen when they start performing miracles? We are warned of such, and by fruits we know them. We must remain strong in faith and keep his commandments if we truly love and trust him. Amen, Aki. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We may not win a popularity contest with the world, but hallelujah, we walk to please our Father, and that's the only opinion that we need to care about is his opinion. Hallelujah. Okay, does anybody have any special prayer requests? Okay, so we're going to, again, we're going to continue on with this. I'm going to be working on this PowerPoint. Hallelujah. I think it's going to be really important with what's going on in the, especially what's going on in the world today. Hallelujah. Okay, anybody have any comments or okay, Kenny, I see you unmuted. Let me just oops. Sorry about that. I had myself muted. Okay, well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Hallelujah. We're going to end in prayer. You didn't hear half of what I said, but that's okay. Hallelujah. I didn't realize I was still muted there.